forget about the true church, yeah? You can ask questions. Alright, in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our discussion. Any more questions? Any questions? No more? Yes.
It's okay.
No more questions? Patrick? No more? Ask, man. Okay, if not, then we can talk about the church from the east. The church from the east. Now again, I feel that this one is very difficult to talk and to preach to people. I think not many people would accept it readily. Anyway, right? I think when we talk about a church from the east, it's more for internal edifications. Right? To be honest, all these verses actually I got them from. From some of the elders, and one of the, Taiwan something, I don't know what anniversary, Zhou Nian Kan Wu, something like that. So they wrote quite many articles on that. So I got all the verses from them. All right, now we can turn to Ezekiel. Okay, this is one of the verses that they used, Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 43, yeah. And behold, verse 2, and behold, the glory of God, of the God of Israel, came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Right? Now, basically, we can see that here it talks about the direction of the glory of God, where it came from. Right? It came from the east. And immediately after that, two things mentioned. It's the voice. I think the second part of verse 2 is easier to explain. Right? His voice was like the sound of many waters. When we read the Revelation, we know that it refers to prayers, right? Because we have received the Holy Spirit. And the earth shone with His glory. Now, just now we talked about the second temple, but this one is not exactly the second temple. It's the temple that Ezekiel saw in a vision, right? It's a visionary temple, put it that way. Alright? Now, the question is, when we use this verse to say that this refers to the true church, how are we going to make it very convincing, to let people understand that this passage is actually talking about the church from the east. Right? Now, I want to bring your attention to the word glory. Glory, yeah? And it mentioned twice in verse 2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And then the last part it says, and the earth shone with his glory. Okay? I think we always perceive that glory refers to what? Bright light. What, a beam of bright light or whatever that shine upon you. It's glory. Okay? Now, from my understanding, I think in the Old Testament scriptures, glory does not refer, I say, only to bright light or a beam of light or whatever. I think it has a lot to do with the redemption or salvation of God. Okay? I'm going to give you an example now. If you read Ezekiel, yeah? Ezekiel chapter 8, chapter 10, right? When this Ezekiel, he saw visions. What happened? He saw vision concerning the temple. Inside the temple, they saw people worship idol. Yeah? And then when he went into the inner part of the temple, they saw the priests were actually worship idol as well. Okay? And after that, we see that the glory of God, yeah, began to depart from the temple. At that time, yeah, before he saw the vision, the temple was filled with the glory of God. Okay? And then when this Ezekiel saw the vision, yeah, then we see that the glory of God began to depart from the temple step by step, isn't it? Yeah? Now, after the glory has completely left the temple, what happened? Slaughter came in. People of God were killed. Yeah? Am I right? So from there we can see that, yeah, glory means protections. Glory means salvation from God. Redemption. Yeah? So without the glory of God, the people of God would be killed. There was no protection at all. Right? So I think for me, yeah, we should understand the idea of glory or the concept of glory in this light, rather than just thinking that it is a bright light or whatever. Okay? Now, how can God receive glory? Yeah? When many people are saved, that is the glory of God. Today, if all of us leave the church, yeah, then where is the glory of God? There's no glory. You know what I'm saying? So the glory of God should be measured. Not that measured, should be looked upon. Yeah. how should I phrase it? Yeah. Help me. The glory of God should be looked upon from the perspective of His redemption. Alright, now I show you a verse, yeah? We can turn to Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah, we can read okay, 49 verse 3, yeah? Okay, this is the first aspect of His glory. Verse 3. And He said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." In this people, yeah? Of course, when these people obey God, when these people perform the work of God, then we find that God will be glorified in them. Alright? Okay, we can also see the turn to chapter 43, yeah? Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, yeah, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. Yeah? I do not believe that the creation here refers to the first creation. Right? I don't believe that. The creation here refers to the recreation, right? People who are recreated in Christ or in God, meaning that after their sins are forgiven. Just like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, yeah? We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we have been recreated, right? So when a person is recreated, he is for God's glory. Right? So it has to do with salvation and redemption. So. Now, God's glory also has to do with the purging of sin. Yeah? Where is it? Chapter 44. Yes, chapter 44. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 44. We can read verse 21, 22. Here talks about how God would forgive their sin, how God would blot out their sin or their transgressions. And then when you read verse 23, and you see here it says, "Sing, O heaven, for the Lord has done it," meaning has forgiven their sin. "Shout, you lower part of the earth, break forth into singing, you mountain, O forest and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob," okay, redeem, "and glorify himself in Israel." So can you see the connection now? The glory of God and redemption, or and the glory of God and salvation, right? So this is the glory of God. So, and with this understanding, then we can read Ezekiel again. We can read Ezekiel. Okay. Okay. We read Ezekiel, chapter 43. Yeah? Now I want you to focus on the last part now, right? We have dealt with the first part. Now we come to the second part. In fact, the last. "And the earth shone with his glory." All right. Now we know that in our context today, how can the world be shone with the glory of God? That's the question that we need to ask. We are talking about the planet Earth, yeah, the material world here today. How can the glory of God, in terms of redemption, fill, yeah, the entire earth, right? This is where the church has to come in. This is where the church has to come in. Okay, we can turn to Ephesians. Yeah? Now we can turn to Ephesians. Okay, now I'm trying to link it to the church, glory and the church. Glory and the church. Glory has to do with salvation and redemption, and now I'm trying to link it to glory and the church. Ephesians, yeah? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Okay? Now the glory of God must be filled in the church. Right? Must be filled in the church. So I think with this verse, yeah, then you can see that, yeah. Now the work of, put it this way, of shining out the glory of God to the entire world is through the church. Because first of all, the church must be filled with the glory of God. Yeah? So that's why to me, all the verses from the early workers are like miracles to me. Seriously. I don't know how they get this idea from. Church from the East, all these verses. You know, later when you search into it, and you realize it's so accurate. Unbelievable. Right? How they did it, I don't know. You know, I always believe in this, yeah? You know, True Jesus Church, yeah? Okay, True Jesus Church, yeah? You see that at the initial phase of the church, yeah? We are just like kids, you know, the early workers. If you look at it, yeah, many of them actually did not know much about the scriptures. Right, that's sure, okay? Now, the True Jesus Church, yeah, at the initial phase, is given the one perfect truth of salvation. It's just like a kid, yeah? 10 years old kid. They're given an answer to high school mathematics questions. Okay? It's like a 10 years old given an answer to a high school mathematics question. You know what I'm saying? So this guy here grows older, then he begins to comprehend how he can derive at the answer. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah? Let's say the... I'm not going to tell you my age. Forget it. Okay. Do you understand my analogy here? Yeah? You know, through Jesus Christ is given the perfect gospel of salvation. Only later on we see that there are all the ministers, the preachers, they study hard and they try to explain them clearly. Okay, it's likened to a kid who is given an answer, right? The answer, say, the answer to a mathematical sum, a high school one, right? And as he grows older, he begins to comprehend the steps, right? How he come to, you know, get the answer. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? That's why I always say, yeah? The foundation is always the same. Right? No matter how. It cannot be wrong. Right? It is given by God. It's given by God. Okay? Right, now, we come back, yeah? Right, we turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Okay, Isaiah chapter 49. You know, again, this chapter is used by our early workers to say that here it talks about the emergence of the true church. Okay, the emergence of the true church. Now we turn to 49. Okay. Now we can read verse 12, yeah? Alright. Surely this shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and this from the land of Sinin. Okay, many of our workers believe that Sinin here refers to China, right? I think, in fact, I have done a research. Actually, it's true. Yeah. There are two parts. Yeah, there are two places mentioned. I think if you read the handout, page 21. Listen to page 21. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Paragraph 6, yeah? Can you see? Hello? Second, yeah? The land of Sinin is stated, yeah? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the reference, yeah? The book of Isaiah by Edward John Young. Not John Young, J. Young. Okay? Volume 3, page 282. Right? The Arabian and other Asiatic called China Sin or Qin. Right? Now, recently, some people suggested another place, yeah? They say this Sinin is not in China. Right? Does not refer to China. It's actually a place in the southern part of Egypt. Okay? Southern part of Egypt. Now we need to explain this, yeah? We need to explain this southern part of Egypt. Now the point I'm trying to make is this, yeah? We first need to look at the chapter, whether it talks about the church or not. Does it talk about the church? That's our major concern. Alright? Now the second question that we need to answer is, who are the people from afar? Can you read verse 12 again? Yeah? Verse 12. Alright? I will make... No, surely this shall come from afar. Who are they? Alright? Who are they? Two questions to answer. So, I will not be too concerned about this, yeah? Suggestion by other whatever theologians, yeah, saying that this Sinin is a place in the southern part of Egypt. We will not be too concerned about this, right? Now, my major concern is, how do we know that here is talking about a church? That's my major concern. Because if you want to explain prophecy, then you need to prove that that chapter is actually talking about the church. You get what I'm saying? Hello? Okay, we read that. Right. Now, first of all, we know that in the book of Isaiah, there are many chapters which talk about Jesus Christ, yeah? The suffering servants. Right? The suffering servants. Now, if you read verse 6, yeah? I want you to read verse 6. Indeed, he said, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, now, so based on this verse, yeah, you can see that this chapter basically is talking about not so much about the historical facts, right, or the nation of Israel as a whole. It actually talks about how Gentiles would come to believe, right? And not only that, he says, you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Right, it's about spreading the gospel, stuff like that. Okay? Now, can read verse 10, yeah? Verse 10. I just want to highlight a few verses to you. These people, when they came, what happened? They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them. Okay. Now, we know that this one was, what, cited, quoted by who? By Elder John. In Revelation, yeah? Okay? We can turn to Revelation chapter 7. This verse is used in the context of the 144,000. Alright, we know that these are the people who were redeemed. Okay, we can read chapter 7, verse 16. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountain of waters. I know, verse 16, yeah. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Okay, now we know that this one is used in the context of the 144,000. And we know that this refers to the church, yeah. And 144,000 in chapter 14 of Revelation, they stand on the side of the Lamb, and they are in Mount Zion, right? So this is the church. Can you see now? Because that verse was used in reference to the church. Is that clear? Do you know what I'm saying? So whenever you want to talk about the prophecy of the church, then you need to prove that the chapter itself is talking about the church. Is that clear? Hello? Okay, never mind. Now the second question, yeah? We turn back to Isaiah. The second question. As who are these people from afar? Who are these people from afar? Yeah. Now, before we answer the question, I want to ask you in verse 12, how many groups of people are there? How many groups of people? How many groups of people? In verse 12. Two. There are? There's one. How many groups of people are there? Hey? Two. How many of you say two? Raise your hand. Inside gang, okay, gang, man. Raise your hand. Hey? What about the rest? Three? Four? How many? Okay. How many? Hey? Two. Okay. Well, we read chapter 49, yeah? Verse 1. Okay. Listen, O coast lands, to me, and take heed, you people from afar. Okay? So I believe that you people from afar, okay, includes two groups of people, okay, can be divided into two. Alright? You know what I'm saying? Now, one is given the directions from where? From north to west, north and west, yeah? The other one is not given the directions. The four corners of the world, put it this way, are not mentioned. It only mentioned the name, Sinim. Yeah? Do you know what I'm saying? Okay? Now, if you analyze these two groups of people, actually it fits into the two-time period of the church. The apostolic, yeah, and this one is China. So how do you know? Now, if you study the church progress of the time of the apostle, yeah, you see from Jerusalem, they move north, isn't it? They move north, huh? And the furthest to Antioch, for example, yeah, is like a springboard, yeah, to their mission. And then from then on, they move westward only, west, and they come to an end, Spain. So it fit very well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? And then the other group is, as I mentioned, is China. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yeah? Yes. Yes. I think, again, it depends on the context, yeah? Depends on the context, yeah. Is that clear? So, for the apostolic churches, what? Jerusalem? North? And come to this, Gentiles church, yeah? Antioch. That's the, it's not exactly a headquarter, but where they move, yeah? To the west. Okay, so there's the church from where is it? That's why the second group, yeah? The second group, the direction is not given. I just mentioned the place. To me, okay? It's not given. I think it is intended to distinguish the two. Okay. Now the question is, these people are from afar, you know? Okay? Now people may ask, if you take Jerusalem as the center, and then you see that within this area, okay? As compared to China, eh? These people are not very far from Jerusalem. Okay? Again, I said, yeah, for as far as I'm concerned, my understanding of the prophecy is this, okay? There are always two levels, right? One is the immediate Jews, the immediate historical background, right? The Jews might come back, right? Come back. But the other thing is that when we talk about afar, we are not talking about a physical distance here. What? We are talking about spiritual distance. If a person has sinned, yeah, then we see that he is very far away from God, as far as I know. Right? There is a irreconcilable distance between him and God. Otherwise, it's afar. This is how I look at it. Alright? Okay, that's the east. No. Only preach to TJZ members. They won't ask me, man. As I mentioned before, normally I don't talk about a church, true church, I mean, especially from the East. Okay, that's the church. Yes, Revelation, and Matthew chapter 24, and you can read the. Page 22, yeah, read it yourself. 22. Page 22. Okay. I'll go through it with you in the afternoon, because my time is up. Is it the time now? No, not yet. 11, okay. For any question? Any question on the church? Yes. I don't know, you ask the expert at the back.解释一下教会名字的历史，我们教会的名字的历史了，开始叫什么？万国刚正教。啊，真耶稣教会有在啊。
Die early, he will die seriously.
You die in sin.
that time he continued to live, he will be a cause of problem. Because the end time, in the first thing he received many revelation, but later, I think he may be simple. All the revelations to me, and later he talks some sort to say reviewed view, not according to the Bible. Really, you read this report, they say Jesus will come in 3 or 5 years.
Finish.
It's not true. So God let him, God call him back alive, understand? According to report, he will have nobody passed like this. Second one, powerful, very powerful in the church, in the Suji church history is Barabba
Chang.
See, everybody, you know him, maybe you have seen his picture. Later, he will be a king. And beside him is his wife, the queen. Now, it's still one church in Singapore. I haven't visited them. They want to come back, but they stick by themselves. They are the bombs. Original one. But he passed away very, see, he was in sincere problem. For us, later it was crazy. So he passed away. In this way, spiritually. Another one is
Zhang Lingzhen.
Actually, he returned back to his former church. So, only one, we say, died early, he said, far away. Another two, you cannot say, he will be saved. For me, I won't say something. They are that, they were the founder, so to say, no founder, the early worker of Suji Church. Oh, but they are still founded in the Suji Church. Don't think you are the founder, you are the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You will say you are the first one, you are the only one that's got to believe you are this truth.
Finish.
Really.
This is what I told a worker in Ghana. He performed many miracles, oh. Serious. Big miracles. And I'll tell him, you die young, oh. I say you die young if you're not careful.
Thank you.
You die young, You know Daniel Awuti. Daniel Awuti. Well, he performed many miracles for the past few years. Every time he performed, he fell sick, very sick. Seriously, he almost died. He went to a hospital and prayed. Pray for a sister. The sister was healed. And in fact, the people in the whole ward were healed as well. But after that, he almost died. It's not a joke. So it's good to be sick, Okay, let's say a silent prayer.